Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. Let's read this passage responsively. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all, chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. We sure do love you. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you help us in a very special way today? Would you please focus our minds, open our hearts, and allow the Word of God to do that which you do best? Would you change our lives? Would we take the next 30 or 40 minutes and focus on you, please? In Jesus' name, amen. Here in Matthew chapter 2, we have a recording of the Christmas story. I am going to use a lot of scripture today. Now, don't get too excited here. My sermon itself is only about 12, 13 minutes long. My introduction is about 20, 25 minutes. So don't, and I'm serious. I need your mind today. It's going to be a little technical at the beginning, but I think I can help you understand some things in light of the Word of God. It'll throw some light the right direction for you. And let me just jump right in. But please give me your mind today. God's words are complete. Amen. They prove themselves to be true because of their exactness, their completeness, their accuracy, and the fact that they're God's words. Amen. I've said this often. That is the Word of God. Man did not write that book. God wrote that book. God had that book written before man was created. Amen. Paul did not write. Matthew did not write Matthew chapter 2. God wrote it. Those are God's words, not Matthew's words. Matthew was the man God used as a secretary to write them down. But Matthew doesn't say in Matthew chapter 2, now when Jesus was born. No, those are God's words. Those were written before Matthew was ever created. If infidels, non-believers, and doubters try to discredit the Word of God, but they're always proven wrong by the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to make a statement here. Please listen to it carefully. The Bible does not prove science right. Science always proves the Bible right. I don't need science to prove the Word of God. The Word of God proves itself. But I'll tell you this, real science always proves the Bible right. You see, only theories and corruption from scientists and infidels who want to lift man above God change science away from the Word of God. You see, evolution is not science. It is a theory. And by the way, a very weak theory at that. Evolution has no scientific backing. None. Global warming has no scientific backing. None. Oh, we must save Mother Earth. Mother Earth is to get you away from Father God. I don't need science to prove to me that the Bible is right. God said it. That's all that matters. I want to show you, though, how science can be used to show you the Bible is right, though. Amen. See, several months ago, I was reading in the book of Matthew, and I'll be honest with you, something caught my attention, and I began to do a little research. And the more research I did, the more it got my attention. And the more it got my attention, the more work I put into it. I've got somewhere between 60 and 70 hours of study in the next 40 minutes. I'm not kidding. I have studied and studied and studied and studied, and I've looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and read and read and read and read, and I've followed this, followed that, and I've had some fun with this. I began to study about this star of Bethlehem. Today's sermon called The Stars of Christmas. The Stars of Christmas. That star in Bethlehem, was it an actual star that left the heavens and came down and hovered a few thousand feet over the manger in Bethlehem? What was it? It could have been. I don't think. I think it was a real star because God said it was.
Amen.
But let me show you what I mean. I don't think, first of all, that it was a star that God pulled out of the heavens and pulled it down like a ball on a string and held it over top of a little stable in Bethlehem, because it is totally against everything that God does in nature. That's one reason. Secondly, wise men from over 700 miles away saw it, but Herod, 5 miles away, did not see it. If it were something that dramatic, don't you think the whole world would have seen it? Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Okay. If it was that unusual, don't you think somebody 5 miles away versus somebody 700 miles away would have been more interested? But that was not the case. Matter of fact, the Bible indicates that Herod did not even see it. Let me explain. And if you'll give me, this is where it's going to get a little technical. Okay? Think with me. I'm going to use scripture as well as history. Okay? We're going to put it all together here, and then I'm going to preach to you. In the early 1600s, a man named Johannes Kepler formulated what are called the three laws of planetary motion. Johannes Kepler was a Christian man. The Bible had just been translated into the English language for English-speaking people in a year called 1611, the King James Bible. He, as a Christian, understood that what God said was true, not what man said. And Johannes Kepler, as a scientist, decided that there had to be some consistency and order to the creation of the universe. He was reading the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God always draws you to truth because it is truth. And Johannes Kepler, a very intelligent man, put together the mathematics for the laws of planetary motion. Now, I'm not going to get into a very deep study on this. You say, why? Number one, you'd be sleeping before I got to the second point. Number two, I'm not sure I'm smart enough to be able to explain it in mathematical terms for you to understand it. But if you'll listen to this statement, I'll show you what I mean. In every planetarium in the world, everybody here understands that the heavens, the stars, and the planets move in a rhythm. Okay? Our Earth travels around the sun in 365 in one quarter days. That's why every four years we have leap year, because it takes 365 in one quarter days to get around. And if you notice, as you go through a year, we use different times of the year for different seasons. Okay, Yesterday was the first day of winter, the winter solstice. That means we made the bend and starting into another era around the sun, and we are below the sun or above the sun, so that the sun's rays are hitting below where we are at. That's why it's colder. Wow, all right? Picture the earth moving on like a NASCAR oval track. And at the ends, they're banked up. You say, why are they banked up? If you were going around the world at over 17,000 miles an hour and you came to a curve, what's going to happen? You're going to go whoo, right off the end of that puppy. Okay? Imagine riding your bike at 1,000 miles an hour and making a corner and not leaning into it. Okay? Not going to work real well, all right? You're going whoo. Okay, first of all, your little feet couldn't keep up at 1,000 miles an hour. But, so God banked that thing so that we could get around and we wouldn't fly off the face of the earth at the change of a season. Then, he figured and he saw that this was all mathematically. Why is it that we know every year when the season changes? It's always the same date every year. December 21st, March 21st, June 21st, and October 21st, right? I believe that's right. Does that sound right? September? I knew it was one of those. I didn't write them down, so I'm going from memory. Don't trust your memory, all right? But there is Johannes Kepler formulated the math to calculate where all this is. By the way, NASA to this day still uses Kepler's mathematics. When we launch something into space, we use the very mathematics that Kepler initiated back in the 1600s. By the way, that's how exact God is. Now, there are programs out, computer programs. There's one called Starry Night that you can calculate the stars in position. You could put Martinsburg, West Virginia, December 25th, you know, 3 BC, and you could see exactly what the stars were over top of Martinsburg on that very night. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not, because the heavens do not change. That's why the Bible says in Psalm, or I think it's Psalm 8, might be Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows the handiwork. Let me show you something here. Psalm 19, and I am not going to take time for you to turn there, but I am going to read several verses. Psalm 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. The line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle in the sun. Wow. That's an interesting statement. All the way back in the book of Hebrews, let me read another verse here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 23. I love this. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. Did you get that? It was therefore that the pattern of the things in the heavens. God said in the Word of God that there were patterns in the heavens. Now, Johannes Kepler was a Christian. And because he believed in God and believed the Scripture, he was moved to prove to the infidels in the 1600s that God was right and not their stupid science. Now, let me make a statement here. You say, are you studying the stars? When you make stars your religion, it's called astrology, and it's false religion, and it's wrong. Astronomy is the study of the science of the stars, not the worship of the stars. Now, listen to me very carefully. Kepler wanted to prove that God was the creator and maintainer of the universe by using mathematics, so because it was an exacting science. Now, for the non-believers and the infidels, this made them pretty ticked off. Kepler was able to prove the balance and the harmony of the heavens, so to speak, by using mathematics. By the way, mathematics is a science. I want to take you to another verse. All the way back in the book of Job, you need not turn there, but Job is the oldest recorded of the scriptures. It is, it's thousands of years old, and it's probably the first book of the Bible that was actually penned. Okay? Now, Job, let me read just a few verses out of Job, verse 7, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which are alone spread throughout the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Listen to this. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Did you catch that? Pleiades, Orion, and Arcturus. I'm not sure how to say that word real well. I'm blowing it. But listen to this. Those are constellations. Do you realize that 4,000 years ago, they were calling the constellations by the same names we call them today? Pleiades, Orion. The bear is Arcturus, whatever that word is there, Arcturus. That is the term, the bear. Okay? Job, 4,000 years ago, people understood what those constellations were. Now listen to me very carefully. Back then, they didn't have the city lights and all of the bright lighting that we have. And when they went outside, they could see things better than we do. If you've ever gotten out in the middle of the desert somewhere where there's no cities around, it's almost like somebody flips a switch and you think you can see stars here. You go out where there's no other light around and you can see things for a long, long ways. Some of you men that were in the military, you've been in some of those remote places or out in the middle of the ocean, and the sky looks totally different. You say, why? Because there's no artificial light clouding it, and you have a better view of what it is. It's allowing the real light from the heavens to show the way. And people back 4,000 years ago didn't have their internet and their TV and their satellite TV and cable TV keep them busy at night. And they were out sitting around with the family outside getting cool looking at the stars. Now, by the way, we set our dates and we set our calendar and we set our seasons up based on where those constellations are. Did you ever notice there are 12 constellations? They call them zodiac for you that like reading your, what do they call that thing? What is it? Horoscope. Yeah, horoscope. That's what it is. That's called astrology. That's people that worship the stars. But listen to me very closely. Each one of those constellations represents a different month. Did you ever notice there was 12 of those and there's 12 months in a year? And they did that because of the position of where those are in those 12 months. Wow. Now, listen to me very carefully. We can then use the stars not to, and listen to this statement very carefully. The heavens or stars are not to run your life. But they can be used like a thermometer as a gauge to register or as an indicator. Does that make sense? If you think one of your children has a fever, you plug that thermometer in their mouth, or anymore, you got things that you slap on their head or whatever, and you take their temperature. The thermometer doesn't give them a temperature. It tells you what the temperature is. Just like if you put a BP cuff on somebody, it doesn't make your blood pressure go up and down. It's an indicator to tell you what it is. By the way, that's what God said the stars are for us. It's an indicator. Okay? Now, tradition, by the Catholics, tradition tell us that these wise men came from the Orient. You know, we three kings of Orient are. I don't know the rest of it the right way. And if I sing it the way I know, I'll get in trouble. I see some of you others are sinners too. Amen. I got Jimbo back there grinning like a possum. Amen. Oh, my. Now, I personally believe that these wise men, they did come from the east. By the way, Israel is on the east coast of the Mediterranean. Everything from Israel east, it would be considered east. All right? Now, listen to this statement very carefully. I personally believe these wise men came from a place called Babylon. Babylon is modern days, we would call it Baghdad, Iraq. That was the center of Babylon. By the way, our Iraqi war was fought in Babylon. Those of you that may have been to Iraq, that is Babylon. Say, why do you believe that? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. I want to show you something, and I'll show you where I'm coming from on this. And again, if you disagree with me on this, that's fine. It's not something that I'm willing to fight over, but I'll show you why I believe what I believe. Galatians 4, look at verse number 3 very quickly. The Bible says, even so we, when we were children, I want you to notice the next few words, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law. Look at me for a moment. I believe it was around, and I'm not exact on these dates for a reason right now, because there was too many other things to get too exacting on. But around 600 BC, Israel was overthrown in the judgment by God, went into 70 years of bondage. Anybody remember who took them over? Babylon. Anybody remember a young man who God used to pen a certain Bible and book in the Old Testament, who went with him, that was a scientist and understood astrology and the stars? A young man named Daniel. Daniel was a trainer of people in Babylon and the Jews that stayed in Babylon, and he trained them in the sciences. I personally believe that these wise men came from Babylon some 535, 540 years later after Daniel died, who came. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here that will maybe shock you. Why would lost infidels be looking for the Savior? These were saved Jews that knew the Scripture, that were looking for the fulfillment of Scripture. I believe personally, and you can disagree with me, I'll shake your hand and say you're right and I'm wrong. Does not bother me. But I personally believe these were people from Babylon, Iraq area, who were trained under the leadership and the tutelage, so to speak, through the ages of a man named Daniel. Okay? Now, I want you to notice, though, there in Galatians 4, verse number 4. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Everybody look at me. When the fullness of time, at the exact moment of time, when was that exact moment? When Jesus was born. Why is it that these people, 535 years after Daniel died, were looking to the sky? Because they knew the Scriptures stating what must take place. And those stars would be an indicator of what was taking on 700 miles away. Everybody doing okay?
Good.
Okay. Why was it that this star at this time was in this place and acted as it acted in Matthew chapter 2? Why is it that it rose from the east, traveled towards Jerusalem, then, instead of going east, traveled south, stopped 5 miles later over top in Bethlehem, and it had to endure for a long period of time, had to be seen from at least 700 miles away, and yet Herod did not see it nor notice it? Now, if you'll give me 5 minutes at most, I'm going to be unbelievably technical. There's about 10 hours of study that I'm going to make in two paragraphs. Listen carefully. By using computer programming and different things, you can calculate stars' exact position any day, any year. If you go from Babylon and go back to September of 3 BC, Jupiter, the king planet. Get that? The king planet. In the constellation of Leo, the lion. Judah was the tribe Jesus came from. What is the animal represented by Judah? The lion. Jupiter joined side by side and virtually in the sky touched one another with the star Virgo, which is known as the Virgin. Wow. But I want you to notice something. The wise men did not move. That was in September of 3 BC. In 9 months later, June of 2 BC, Venus, the mother planet, and Jupiter, the king planet, lined up, one on top of the other, like a figure eight, to where they looked like one star. Venus and Jupiter are the two brightest stars in the heavens. And those two stars joined forces in one light over the eastern sky. They rose from the east and endured over time. And the wise men said, "There's the star, let's follow it." Took them roughly 3 months to travel 700 miles. If you had to walk 700 miles, how long would it take you? Quit complaining. By November of 2 BC, it stopped over Jerusalem. Now listen to this. They got there. They started inquiring around Jerusalem. Herod found out about this. He inquired of them, "Did you find him yet? Why are you here? We didn't see that star." They weren't paying attention. These wise men looked up and saw it, and it moved from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Now, if you understand anything about the geography of Israel, it is 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and it's a due south trip. They are in line north to south. The Bible says that that star went to Bethlehem and stopped. Now, let me ask you a question. Do stars actually stop? No and yes. Let me show you what I mean. Do stars change directions? No and yes. If you've ever driven down the highway, if you drive like most of you, you pass someone. Okay? And as you pass them, it looks like they're moving in a different direction than you, correct? It looks like they're going back as you're going forward. That's called retrograde motion because the platform by which you are looking is moving as well as what they are doing is moving. You have to understand something. As we look at the stars, we're moving and so are they. And there are times in retrograde motion to where stars will actually move like this throughout the heavens. That's why you look up one night and the Big Dipper is one direction and a couple of days later it's upside down. You say, "How did the world do that?" Well, we're moving, and as it's moving, we're moving. Everybody understand that? Okay. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you use any planetarium that uses computer data, you can do the mathematics yourself if you're smart enough. And you can figure out that on December 25th of 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus stopped over Bethlehem's manger. Jesus had already been born. He was not born on December 25th, but that is why December 25th was chosen, because that is when the wise men got to Bethlehem to find the newborn king. Now, I am not saying Jesus was born on December 25th. We don't know the exact date. Probably around June of 2 BC, he was born. If we take into account that the Virgo and the Jupiter stars, that would give us an approximate date of June of 2 BC. Now, listen very carefully. I will tell you what. The first Christmas was December 25th of 2 BC. Say why? Because wise men, by the way, we don't know how many. But wise men that brought three gifts, three types of gifts, came to Bethlehem and found a young child and gave to him and his parents gifts for that new king. Now, I love this statement. Those wise men followed a star, but that star was only to point them to the real star of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Santa Claus, gifts, Christmas trees have evolved into us not looking at Jesus, but looking to ourselves. We even have religions like the Catholic religion that tell us that Mary is the mother of God. That's a lie. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Now, man has a way of messing up God's words. I'm not against celebrating Christmas. I like Christmas. I just don't want to take Jesus out of it. I'm not against a Christmas tree. You may be. That's fine. Don't have one. I've got one at home. I enjoy it. I don't sit down and pray to the Christmas tree. I don't. My kids will tell you, and they're all grown. Well, they're still growing. But my kids are grown. They'll tell you. That tree, every year, we talk about it being a picture of the tree that Jesus hung on. It was a picture of Jesus giving us the gift of salvation. I've used it the best way I know. Now, I'm not against it, but I'm actually for celebrating Christmas, not what we call Christmas. Let me show you what I mean. Number one, time to preach. Jesus is the real star of Christmas. Hey. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you the things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Can I tell you something? Jesus himself said, I am the bright and the morning star. He said, you saw that star in Bethlehem, but I am the bright and the morning star. I am the picture of the resurrection, the first light you see in the morning. That is me. Whew, that ought to be enough to make you want to shout. Amen. Jesus is that light to guide us every day. Can I tell you something? When you get up in the morning, why don't you acknowledge him? Amen. When you look up in the morning sky and you see the light, remember that it is a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast set him a little lower than the angel. Oh boy. Do you know how good God is? Do you realize what God has done for you? And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. Wow. Can I tell you something? That light is what we base our salvation on. I don't care what the perverts say, Jesus did not get married. I don't care what the infidels say, God did not get married to have Jesus as his son. See, man, as I said last week, in his idolatry has to think of God in man's terminology. Don't bring God down to man, let's bring man up to God. Can I tell you something? That's why I have joy. I got the joy down in my heart. Say why? Because I have the light of Jesus Christ. I have the light of the Word of God. He is the bright and the morning star. I don't know about you, but light makes me happy. I can be happy anytime, but I like daylight. Now, I don't mind darkness, but it's more fun following a deer trail in the daylight than it is at night. It's more fun doing things in the daylight than it is at night. By the way, that's why the devil likes darkness, because his deeds are evil. That light is a picture of Jesus and his resurrection and our forgiveness. Folks, do you realize if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are gone. It'll never be judged. It'll never be held against you. In God's record, it's gone. It's not even recorded. And he's not only taken your wrong away, but he added Jesus' righteousness to your account. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. Wow. Can I tell you something? Johannes Kepler came out in the 1600s. Anybody know what ended late 1500s, early 1600s? A period of history called the Dark Ages. It wasn't because there was no light outside. It was dark because man did not have all the Word of God put in print for the majority of the world to see. And we were living under the Catholic rule for 1,000 years of infidels and bad doctrine and bad science. That's why in 1492, Columbus and all the scientists said the earth is flat. If they'd gone to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, they would have realized that the world was round. They needed the word of God. They didn't need science. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to share something with you that might surprise you. But, point number two. Satan tries to copy Jesus. Isaiah 14, listen to this. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain, the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Glory to God. Folks, Satan tries to copy Jesus, but he is the fallen star from heaven. Satan tries to copy what Jesus is. Now listen to me very carefully. That's why people study the stars. According to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20, and I brought this out, I know in the last week or so here, the Bible talks about the 7 golden candlesticks being the 7 churches and the 7 stars as the angels of those churches. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars or the churches of God. Now listen very carefully. Do you know that that Satan will try to take everything away from Christ that he can? Now, parents, don't get mad at me, but listen very carefully. Boys and girls, Santa Claus is a cartoon character. It's amazing how Santa Claus has very similar qualities to Jesus Christ. He knows when you've been naughty or nice. He can be in all places at one time. He sees you when you're sleeping. Everybody doing okay? He knows when you're awake. You say, is it bad? I'm not going to tell you it's sinful, but I think you need to tell him the truth. Amen. I think you need to tell him the truth. Amen. I know. I probably made somebody mad at me. It's okay. I got to tell this. My dad's not here. If he was here, he'd be jiggling right now. I didn't grow up always not knowing that Santa was a cartoon character. My dad used to say, that fat boy parks his reindeer on my roof, I'm going to shoot him. Man, he'd get us upset. And then one day I found that deer head he had. You don't want to know what I went through on that for a while. I thought that was one of Santa's reindeer, amen? Now I'd say, where's the other eight? But, match them up here, Pop. Wait a minute. It's amazing how many false teachings about the birth of Christ there are. Everybody look at me for just a moment. Mary was not born immaculately as Jesus was. I hate to tell you, but every Catholic priest in this world is telling their people that Mary was virgin born because she is the mother of God and she never died. She was translated to heaven and you can pray through her because she is Jesus's mother. He's obligated to her to answer her request and you're more apt to get what you want when you pray through her. That's wicked as hell. That's false doctrine. Everybody doing okay? When they say the Immaculate Conception, they're not talking about Jesus in the womb of Mary. They're talking about Mary, who could be the conceptor of Jesus. Just so you know. Oh, the false doctrine about the stable and who was there and all the other things. And I'm not mad. If you've got a nativity scene that's got the shepherds and the wise men and all that kind of stuff, have at it. It's not scripturally all there, but it's okay. Now, I want to show you something. It's amazing to me that we bring presents on Christmas to everybody but Jesus. We'll shut churches down because we're having church on Christmas night. We can't do that. We need family time. And give gifts to everybody except the one whose birthday it is. Let me ask you a question. What's your present to Jesus this year? Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Trillions of dollars will be spent across this globe over Christmas and Jesus will get very little. How would you like $1 billion spent for your birthday on everybody but you? Every year for 2,000 plus years. That wouldn't be very fun. Guess what? Devil's good at his game, isn't he? Now we have Xmas. Folks, there's no such thing as Xmas. That's taking Christ out of Christmas. It's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. But it's not Happy Holidays. Every time somebody says that to me, I say, Merry Christmas. Isn't it wonderful, the birth of our Savior? Ooh, watch them wiggle. Oh, that's not politically correct. Jesus was born a long time before we had a United States government. I don't give a rip. It's amazing. How that, well, everybody shouldn't be forced to have Christmas. Okay, don't celebrate it. I don't believe in God. Good, you've got your holiday. April Fool's Day. Nah, 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 nah. My Bible says if you don't believe there is a God, you're a fool. So April 1st is your holiday. Have at it. Give all the gifts you want. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I live this way just so you know. I have fun in life. Why is it okay for everyone but Christians to have equal rights? Number three. Are you trying to be the star of Christmas? Or will you let Jesus? Are you trying to be the star of the show? Or will you let Jesus be the star of the show? This time of the year, people try to buy people's love. I'm going to make a statement here. You might not like it, but I don't care. You can't buy anybody's love. You can rent it, but you can't buy it. Some of you, and please don't take this the wrong way. I realize I have family that lives in distant states and distant places, and I can't be with them all the time. But I'm not supposed to one time a year try to wow them and pizzazz them to prove to them that I love them by sending them some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. And maybe in that gift they'll understand I love them and I'm trying to buy their love. Guess what? Doesn't work. The world is so wrapped up in buying things, going in debt to try to say they love someone, it's a whole lot easier for the other 364 days to say, I love you, son. I love you, sweetie. If I say that every day, guess what? It'll cost me less on Christmas, maybe. But if you never say it and just show up with a gift, I hate to tell you, that's a cheap substitute. Do you want all the praise for Christmas? Or what about God? If somebody doesn't like the gift that you gave them, and you're not going to talk to them for the next 10 years over it, then you're trying to be the star of Christmas, not Jesus. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Everybody listen real carefully here. And I'm as serious as a heart attack on anybody in July. Do you think you're so strong of a Christian that you can associate with evil and wrong people at this time of the year and it not affect you? I hate to tell you something. I realize we have family, but you can limit the amount of time that you spend with wrong influences. I know what it's like to have to show up at places and just put my appearance in. But let me tell you, it's just that. I don't have to go there and spend forever and a day there. Say why? I'm not going to put my family and put my own Christianity on the line for anybody. We better be careful who we associate with this time of year in Christian love. Hang on. See if I can find the right button on this thing. There it is. I found it. They're going to be selling popsicles where the booger man lives before I sit down with a bunch of long-tongued gossips and evil people trying to destroy somebody over Christmas. I don't care if they have the same last name with me or not. Amen. I'm not doing it. Amen. I can love them as a person, but I don't have to go sit down and spend Christmas with them. I don't have to go to a party with them. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're just not showing Christian love. I'm showing wisdom, which is better than what you're showing. Why would I put my family in danger of listening to gossip? Listening to evil?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going there to defend right. Your nose is screwed upside down. You're so nosy, you want to find out what they know so you can tell them what you know. And then you're going to have an argument over it. Come back tonight, I'll talk about the diffusing. Amen. You think you're so strong of a Christian you can endure that? You might be able to, but what do you can put your kids through?
Yes.
Someday, God may bless us with a Christian school. Say, are you for a Christian school? Yes. But we're not going to be playing people in sports that are not exactly like us. They might be good people, but if they don't believe like we believe and participate like we participate, we're not playing. Because I'm not going to take your children and possibly my grandchildren and put them around people that I would not want them with all the time.
That's good.
Because if I take them there or allow them to go there, our kids say, preacher said, these people are okay, so I can associate with them. Guess what? I don't want you playing with the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Mormons, the weirdos, the world, and everybody else. It's just the way it is. Say, well, I won't put my kid there. Fine. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you before we ever start it where we're going. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to allow the neos and the non-believers and the people that don't believe the right Bible to teach our kids. Nor am I going to use their curriculum. Boy, is that getting a little personal. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let me ask you a question. Are you wandering around listening to wise people like Herod, not knowing where the star is? Herod was 5 miles away, but wasn't wise enough to look to see who was being born. He felt threatened. Go find where that king is and let me know where he's at. I'm going to kill him. Nobody's going to be king of Israel while I'm here because I'm king. Yeah, I'm going to end up like King Tut too. Can I tell you something? Let me, as a wise man, and I don't mean that the wrong way, who knows the truth of the Bible, show you what the Bible says without you getting mad. I've inserted some opinion. I've told you where it was opinion. I've inserted a ton of truth. We've let science show us that the Bible is right. Did you catch that?
Amen.
By the way, even if science didn't prove it, it's still right.
Amen.
Did you catch that? By the way, that's why evolution's wrong. There's no such thing as a Big Bang. The only Big Bang was all the gas in their head that exploded. Hush, Walter. Global warming only become, you know, carbon emissions. We've got to watch our carbon emissions, our carbon footprint. Folks, everything in the world has carbon in it. Oh, too much carbon dioxide and all the plants are going to die. No, the plants are taking over with too much carbon dioxide. That's what they breathe. They breathe in carbon dioxide and out oxygen. There are more plants on the face of the earth right now than there were 4,000 years ago. Proven fact by science. Oh, the world's just getting so hot. We're gonna burn up. That's why the polar ice caps are 50% larger in the last 17 years than they have been since the Roman Empire. Go do real study. Not what the press tells you. Not what the liberals tell you.
Amen.
Study facts. These wise men. They followed a star. See, why did they follow a star? Because they wanted to get to the real star of Christmas.
Amen.
And that real star's name was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Folks, that's the same Jesus, the bright morning star who came to pay for your sin. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, died, and resurrected and paid your sin debt for you so that all you had to do is trust him as your Savior. He made not only your salvation possible, he took care of your forgiveness. He took care of your joy. He took care of all the fulfillment of power that you need to live a successful Christian life. Let me ask you a question. What's your Christmas going to be like? Celebrating it for everybody but Jesus? What a shame. The real star of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who's here today and say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I sure would like to know I'm going to heaven someday. who'd say, Brother Bush, I do know for sure. I have no doubts at all that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not sure. But I sure would like to know. Would you raise your hand? Well, there's one or two little hands, and that's fine. Mamas and daddies, you be sensitive, and you talk to your kids. Some of you just need to put Christ back in Christmas. Some of you need to decide that Christmas is going to be about the real star of the show, which is Jesus Christ.